Eternal Father, as we wait before Thee, having read Thy word and sung Thy praise, having interceded on behalf of our friends in Thy work, as we come to meditate upon Thy voice speaking to us through the written word, may Thy Spirit be here with light and conviction and power. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the interesting topics to consider, one which I often review in my mind, is the total program that God has set Himself to accomplish, described in the salvation story. What is He trying to do? Well, He's trying to make friends out of enemies. He's trying to make loyal citizens out of rebels. He is trying to make saints out of sinners. He's trying to make the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb testify, and the dying live. But He's trying to do much more than that. He's trying through this, in His glorious plan, to demonstrate His love and His forbearance and His mercy and His justice and His power and His Godhead. And He is using as means, as agents, human beings. He is trying to do more than this. He's trying to exhibit the foolishness of sinning, the ingratitude of rebellion, the wickedness of Satan, the folly and futility of walking along any way other than the way everlasting. He is trying to do more than this. He is trying to restore a world that is undone and repopulate a heaven that is one-third empty. He is trying to bring harmony into the universe. He is trying to bring unison into the discordant voices that are crying. And He is trying to bring everlasting peace. There has never been conceived a task as great, problems so intricate, and agents so prone to move away from their responsibilities. And yet, through millennia laid on millennia, God has worked to fulfill His design. In the beginning, He purposed to create. His purpose was misunderstood, His plans discredited, and the agent of creation beaten down. Following the encounter in heaven between Christ and Lucifer, this world was created, perfect, in every detail. The heavens and the earth were finished. I want to underline this. I think we need to see this. We have never finished anything we've ever started. Jesus is not only the author, but he is also the finisher. Let us never forget that. That task to which he puts his hand, he will bring to its consummation. He is the author, he is the completer. And he created this world, and it was finished perfect, and almost immediately plunged into ruin. Everything that he did was attacked. Every system that he had set in operation was opposed. Every plan that he laid, the enemy sought to thwart. Look at our bodies, fearfully, wonderfully, intricately, brilliantly devised and made. Every system dependent on every other system. Every system to contribute to the well-being of the whole. Satan has attacked every one of them. There is not a system of our bodily beings that is not attacked. Not an area that is immune from the encroachments of the adversary. And the enemy attacks brilliantly. He fights this generation not by meeting this generation, but by setting his plans to destroy this generation 100 generations earlier. Through all the laws of heredity, he has worked his insidious way to destroy. So when we come onto the stage of action, when we join battle with the enemy, he has studied our cases. He has known us. He has planned to meet our weaknesses before we were born. He understands our foibles. He knows the chinks in our armor. And he can engineer his attacks to meet us on our weakest points. Weak points for which he has been preparing with our parents and their parents and their parents' parents. And God looks and sees these encroachments. He takes care of the environment. He pollutes. He destroys. He sets in operation counterattacks, all of which are calculated to mar the image of God in the beings who are morally responsible. A relentless, implacable, ever vigilant adversary. God's task is to move through this to the establishment of ultimate victory. This is God's plan. To bring from the enemy land men and women and boys and girls whose minds are turned to him, who want to escape from the slavery, from the thraldom, from the death that is surrounding them and will inevitably grasp them. He wants to save them, take them up on the wings of light to reign with him forever in his kingdom. And in this task, he has asked our cooperation. He could have made us machines to do his will. He could have made us as unthinking as our hearts. to do what He had programmed us to do in season and out of season. But in that state, we cannot appreciate. We cannot love. We cannot communicate. And so He gave to us freedom. Because He loved. Because He is love. Freedom to choose and the wills to do. He gave us. And in spite of man's fall, He reiterated, I will put in your mind, in your thinking, enmity. Enmity against wrong. Enmity against sin. Enmity against Satan. I will put enmity. We would have been destroyed long ago. But Jesus Christ strengthened our antipathy, our enmity, our hatred, our moving away from the wrongs. Right at the fall, He loaded the scales on our behalf. So that our choice, buttressed with His added gracious enmity, might enable us to make the decisions that will take us out of the clutches of Satan into the ways of eternal life. And then He brought all the resources of heaven to bear upon us. He commissioned angels to cooperate with us. He came down in the person of the Holy Spirit to live with every mind who would invite Him in, to mold and fashion every thought that would turn in His direction, to steal with heaven's will the decisions of men who would so choose. And then He gave to man His word. His book of instruction, written with thrilling insight, with intriguing mystery, with appealing imagery, with stories that move, with characters that are a microcosm of all men in every age, models to be studied, to discern the foibles of human choice, to determine the factors that made men decide, and through that to see the divine will, sometimes rejected, sometimes accepted. And as these men pass on the stage of salvation story, to give to us the cases of every man and every woman and every boy and every girl that would ever live, so that we can see in them a mirror of ourselves. And seeing, be forewarned. Being forewarned, look up for power that we might gain the victory. These things He has done. And more. In the fullness of time He came, made of a woman. Made in the likeness of flesh. Born in a hill town of Bethlehem, growing up in a village of Nazareth. Working as a carpenter in a family where there were frictions between brother and half-brother and brother and half-sister, into a world that was alien, into His own that received Him not, into town and village that plotted His death, before rulers that suborned false witnesses to destroy, under a government inimical to the principles of peace and righteousness, among disciples that betrayed and fled and denied and cursed, to die at the hands of soldiers whose ribald jest for the final human voices He heard when he came to die for mankind.
But he did more than this. Laid in the grave, he tore asunder the seals of Satan, rolled asunder the doors placed by evil men, and rose to life and light and immortality. Hymned by angels, praised by dwellers in illimitable space.
And eventually, through his patient wooing, accepted by his church, whom he regarded as his bride. This is God's plan. Still thwarted. Still forgotten. Still ignored. Still spurned. How much time, my friends, do you think about what God has done for you? How much time do you read about what God has done for you? How much time do you spend in praying to the God who has done this for you? God has a plan. And not only is he the author, but he is the finisher of that plan. One day, his purposes will come to an end. John, who in the long ago heard that voice, put down the words that we shall hear. It is done. Behold, I come quickly. He will finish it. The cry that he made on the cross, it is finished, is the hallmark of divine working. He leaves no task uncompleted. His purposes know no haste and no delay. One day it will be finished. He will either finish us in righteousness, or we will be finished. Now, what is the role that man is to play in this plan? What is our part in this grand design that God has set up? First of all, we are left to choose. The options are ours. Every day, the options are ours. Every morning, we must renew those options. Today is a new day. What am I going to do? What do I want to do? What do I hope to do? Do you take any time reviewing this in the morning? What do I expect out of this day? In all the contacts, in all the relationships, in all the words I say, what do I expect? What do I hope? Take it to the Lord. Lord, I've got to meet so-and-so, 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 so-and-so today. I've got to deal with this and with this and with this. With steel in my lathe or shaper or drill press. With trees in my garden or orchard. With cloth at my machine. With people in the hospital or in the store or at the office. It is with these things that I live. These constitute everyday opportunities. What am I going to do with what my hand finds to do? Do it with my might? If I do, I'm preparing for eternity, just as effectively as if I'm praying. And if I've prayed about it, then I may do with my hands, with my might. to His glory.
And with people,
people that I meet in the hospital, in the store, in the office, on the street, around our tables at breakfast, dinner, and supper, in the social encounter, Jesus has left me a principle. Inasmuch
as ye have done to one of the least of these,
ye have done to me. In my relationships, what am I doing? What am I doing with that secretary, that stenographer, that clerk? As she watches my behavior, is it honest? Am I a person of complete integrity? Do I require him or her to shade the truth? To gain 19 cents? Or 30 pieces of silver? What does she see? When with my hands I do what I should do. Do I cover up? Do I deceive? Or is my life one of integrity, of transparency? My motives clean and honest. We all make mistakes. Let us never do them. Malice aforethought. Planned. What am I doing in God's great design? Simon, Simon, Satan hath obtained you by asking that he might sift you as wheat. Who has he asked for? Job? Simon? You? Me? Jesus could say just as accurately, Leslie, Leslie, Satan has obtained you by asking that he may sift you. But I am praying. I am the intercessor. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. This morning we said the Lord's Prayer. It says the same thing. Lord, if there is no other way but for me to be led into temptation, then deliver me from the evil one. That's what Job prayed. But there wasn't another way. And Job was led into the hand of Satan. Lost everything. They weren't acts of God. They were acts of Satan. Houses gone in a moment. Earthquake, tornado. His goods hijacked in a moment. Chaldeans, marauders from the east. And his children gone in a moment. Cyclone from the desert. Naked came I into the world. Naked go I out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Be careful you don't charge God foolishly with the acts of the devil. And then the task not done yet, Satan says, let me have his body. Don't take his life. And suddenly from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, he had boils. Burning. Itching. Tormenting. Garment defying. Boils. Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him. He holdeth fast to his integrity. And the angels observed, and the unfallen beings observed, and God observed, and Satan observed, and foamed at the mouth. And Job had some friends who had observed too. Stupid, judgmental, ignorant. They had to learn too. There was only one way they could learn. That's the way they learned. Talking, arguing, arguing, talking. And then God said, listen to me. They should have done that 36 chapters before. 36 chapters before. John the Baptist was a little discouraged, you will remember. What did Jesus do? Just what he did regularly, and sent the message back, go and review the evidence. You don't need any more evidence. Go review it. Review the evidence. And God reviewed for Job the evidence that Job knew. And what does Job say? Lord, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes have seen. And I repent and abhor myself. See, Job had already told us in chapters before, I am among the beautiful people, there's nothing wrong with me. I've got widows that sing my praise. I've got orphans that dance when they see me. I've got blind men that hear my voice and come with their tap-tapping sticks to me and I take them across the street. There's many an old woman Hubbard whose cupboard I've filled. I can give you pages and pages of evidence, but now I abhor myself. When we see God, then we see ourselves, and we are no longer beautiful people. We're sinners needing grace.
And when Job repented and began to pray for his friends, see, all he had done with his friends before was lose his temper and argue. When he quit arguing and started praying, the Lord turned the captivity of Job. And the last day to Job was twice as good as his first. What was Job's part in God's plan? What was Peter's part in God's plan? What is your part in God's plan? God wants to use us, transformed by grace, as his witnesses, as his exhibit A, B, C, D, E, F, X, that his plan is right. And he's wanting to tell the universe, as he spoke in Job 1 and 2, have you considered my servants here in the Glendale City Church? They hold on to their integrity. They hold on to their relationship with me, come what may. They are my witnesses. They are my samples that grace works, that this salvation wrought on Calvary is effective, that the power of my Spirit is working in 1975 to transform hearts. And when this plan is carried out, not only will our salvation be achieved by grace through the blood of Christ and the ministry of the Spirit and the intercession of our Savior, not only will God be vindicated, not only will Satan be shown to be the liar and murderer he is, not only will this earth be populated and heaven repopulated, but one note of harmony will once again ring throughout the universe. And God will be praised. Blessing and honor and might and thanksgiving and power will be accorded to him
by everything in heaven and earth and under the earth, the sea and in the vast universe, because in the midst of the throne was a lamb, as it had been slain, to redeem, to vindicate, to transform, and to finish the task God had set his hand. The option is ours. To be on the side of victory, or to stay where we are. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank Thee for the assurance of success. We thank Thee that Jesus, to whom we look as we run with patience the race that is set before us, is not only the author, but the finisher. Hasten the day when the work may be finished in our hearts, in our families, in our church, in this world, and in the universe. We thank Thee for the all-power that is Thine. We thank Thee for the promise that Thou art with us always. And we come to Thee, hearing Thee with our ears and seeing Thee with our eyes, loving Thee with our hearts, and yielding to Thee with our wills. Take us, Lord. Hold us close. And remember us in Thy kingdom. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.